What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another podcast, number 311. I have my wife here with me this time.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, so welcome. Thank you for being able to make it. But it has been a very long time since you've been on here.
It has been a few years.
Yeah, it's been a few years. So probably not going to go through everything, every single game that you've played in those past couple of years. But what have you been up to when it comes to video games, movies, TV? And of course, I know, but you know, tell all the listeners out there.
So basically, the Hogwarts Legacy game and Diablo 4. And then really the only shows that I've been watching have been like The Office, Big Bang, and The Last of Us.
What about Outlander?
Oh, yeah. Outlander was the new one I started. It's spicy.
Yeah. Yeah, coming into the room not really knowing what I'm coming into. Yeah, for sure. Like, oh, it's one of those kind of shows.
Well, funny enough, Outlander is based on a novel. And it's not a regular, like, adult novel. It's one of the spicy novels, so.
Well, it sure sounds like it when it's on the TV. So, Hogwarts, how many hours have you been able to dump into that?
I think I wish I have more hours into it, but honestly, I think I'm just under 30 hours. But I'm also running around collecting everything and just really immersing myself into it. But once winter comes around, it will be a whole different story.
And who are you playing as?
I am playing as a student in Hufflepuff.
How's the experience of the game so far?
I like it. I don't like flying the broom, obviously, because you had to do that one quest for me because I just couldn't complete it. But other than that, I've had a lot of fun. Ended up in places I wasn't supposed to be yet and got my ass handed to me a couple times, so... But all in all, it's a really good game. I've enjoyed it. I've definitely enjoyed the story behind it and the game mechanics. I would hope to see more DLC in the future so it can keep going, because you definitely like immerse yourself into the experience. So you're going to school, you're learning these spells, and you're making friends, and you're running around like Hogsmeade, and you're exploring the Forbidden Forest. So there's a lot there, and I definitely could dump a whole lot of time into it.
30 hours is a decent chunk of time, but for that kind of open world, open sandbox game, it's one of those games you could dump a couple hundred hours into.
Yeah, I feel like 30 hours, I haven't even scratched the surface yet.
Have you gotten a percentage or like any kind of progress to show how much of the actual game you have done?
I think I'm less than 10%, because I literally have been running around doing collectibles and solving puzzles and doing that. I haven't really focused on the story. I've been trying to do every single side quest I come across. If you look at my quest log, it's ridiculous because I pick up everything. I do it all.
Just wait for it. There you go. So if anybody hears that out there, going to go ahead and give a apology right up front. We have, within 5 feet from us, one very large male Doberman who has a bone. Brand new, likes to slam it around. And then the other room, we have a female Doberman. Any female French Bulldog who all have bones, like to pick them up, carry them, and then just set them, drop them when they're just standing at their normal height. So if you guys hear something in the background, something thumping, blame the dogs. But we were talking about Harry Potter.
Yes.
30 hours in, about 10%, you said?
Yeah, just about 10%.
A lot of quests. When it comes to DLC, are you even going to be able to get to the point of DLC?
I think when it becomes, you know, winter and cold outside, when I more retreat into the house and spend a little more time indoors, I'll be able to, like, get into it a little bit more.
What do you want to see in the DLC? Different locations?
I would like to, well, kind of, but more story. More character development building. Definitely, they have main characters in the game. And it would be nice to get more of their stories rather than just befriending them and doing quests alongside them for some of the stories.
Now, another game that you had been dumping a lot of time into, you said, was Diablo 4.
Yes. I didn't dump too much time into Diablo 4. I'm not going to lie about that. I didn't have the highest hopes for it. I'm not a huge Diablo fan when it comes to playing it on console, because it is a different feeling than playing it on the PC. They did a decent job. It just seemed very redundant, and just having to search for, like, where you're at on the map in the village. I don't know. I don't like the way that it's set up.
It is supposed to improve. We're supposed to begin another major update, the first big update. Kind of scary to even know how many gigabytes that is going to be, if it's going to be like another 60 or 80 gigabytes. I don't know if you experience a lot, but when I've been playing it, in which I enjoy it, by the way. However, a lot of times I would be kicked out, and I would probably spend 20 minutes trying to get back in. And that was the first couple weeks of the game being out. I'm not too far in at all, maybe a couple percent. But like you, when it comes to the Harry Potter, for me on Diablo, I'm doing all the side quests. I'm doing every kind of mission. I'm running through the dungeons. I have not seen anything with the Season 1 pass yet, but by the end of the Season 1 pass being over, that's when the update is supposed to come out, so hopefully it does come out soon. Did you have any connectivity issues when you played?
I did not.
Any lagging on the screen, dropping of frames?
Nope, so I didn't drop frames, I didn't lag, but I think it comes down to the time that you play, and I think when I was playing, it wasn't like a prime time for people to be on it.
I was playing at like 2 in the morning. I didn't think it was a prime time either. However, it was pretty close of the game just coming out, and there was a couple down times. And one of the times, I don't know how long this streamer got into gameplay, but there is a game mode that you play on, which is hardcore. And as soon as you die, you lose everything. There's no saves, no nothing. So this guy was probably over 100 hours in, maybe even close to beating it. And again, I don't have all the details, but however, when he was live streaming, he ended up hitting one of those hiccup points of him getting disconnected. And since he got disconnected, he ended up losing his entire character, all of his progress, everything, because this did happen. I couldn't imagine how that feels, so I'm playing on the very beginner difficulty.
I would definitely rage. Quite a bit. I
would probably quit the game.
Yeah, I wouldn't have attempted, with the issues being known that they're having right now, that they're working on fixing, doing the hardcore mode, because like that, having that one hiccup, that one oops, it just will mess you all up.
Have you ever done a game like that on hardcore, hardest difficulty, just go and beat everything on it?
You and I, Halo. And I remember one level we were stuck on.
Which Halo, though?
Oh, shit. I think it was, it had to have been Halo 3.
Because we started doing the Master Chief Collection. We started playing through the games all the way through.
We started doing each, and no, it was the first one, because we started doing each level as we progressed, because we were trying to 100% it, because we were being crazy. But I remember one of the levels we went to go walk through. It's like a pass. Walking through the pass, and then we were getting shot at, and either I would get hit or you would get hit, and then we failed. But yeah, and then the Call of Duty, you know, the one hit wonder thing that I played with you and your friends, and I got really irritated.
Oh, you're talking about the multiplayer hardcore game mode, to where if you do get hit once, you're pretty much done for, or it takes a lot less hits for somebody to kill you.
Yeah. No, I kept dying like instantly. So I don't even attempt that because I get too ragey.
You don't even play Call of Duty.
No, because I'm cannon fodder. Like, I can't make it past my spawn point to even, like, make it worth my time.
But you are still contributing to the team because we see where the bullets come from.
Yeah, like,
when
I'll
you
call
go
it
run out.
Out
there in the middle of the map, which is no strategic value. But at least for us, we can see where people are shooting.
It gets to a point where you're so angry that you can't get good weapons, you can't upgrade anything, and you're just like, well, screw this. I'm just going for it. And you just run and call it out where you die, and you guys see it. So, I mean, you know, I become an asset in a way, but it makes me hate the game that much.
You do become an asset in certain times, certain games, but there's also different times that I don't know what it is that you're trying to do. And I experienced this during playing those Halo games. And there would be a time of saying fuck it, because we would get stuck, and it's pure frustration of you're just stuck on this one part, on the one level. You don't want to drop the difficulty, but you'll start running me over with vehicles. You'll start sabotaging your own teammate. And it's you and I versus the fucking universe.
Okay.
And you're inbound to kill me.
Okay. But this all stems from the one time I accidentally ran you over. And then you somehow magically every now and then like to blow me up in elevators. And at that point, it's game on. And I just go after you after a while. Because anytime we step in an elevator, you blow me up. Every time.
There's a bit of payback.
And this goes back to, I ran you over. This had to have been like 11 years ago.
Well, so what game was that? Was that Halo Reach? I think we were either playing Halo 3 or Halo Reach.
It had to have been Halo. It's one of those. I can't even remember. But I remember you yelled at me after I ran you over. But it's not my fault you ran in front of me. That's all on you.
I can't help where I spawn. My recollection is that I spawned, I couldn't get very far at all, and then I was dead. Expecting, because you don't have replay on that game, so you're just, okay, where'd it come from? Maybe it was a sniper shot or something, and maybe somebody on your team will call it out. No, it's the back end of the bumper on the Warthog that's just driving over my corpse. Well, and then hearing betrayal on your TV.
Yeah, that happened a really long time ago. I've never been able to live it down because you have not let me live that down. And any time that I'm terrified to even go into an elevator with you in game because I'm afraid you're going to try to blow me up.
Sometimes, depending on the difficulty, especially for Halo, you can set it to where if you die, I have to get to a safe point and then we can continue on in the campaign right then and there, right where we're at. If we both die, we have to go back to the last checkpoint, unless it's, you know, all skulls on, mythic, and then as soon as you die, you have to restart either the game or just the level. So when we're playing, when we have some of the skulls on, and one of these skulls, can't remember what it is off the top of my head, but it multiplies all of the damage. And when we're running together, we're going into a sea of 20, 30 enemies. Again, you like to run right in the fucking center of all the action. I know that it's going to happen, so I will equip a sticky grenade, spike grenade, something, and I'll throw it on your back as you're running to everybody. So again, it does work.
I think it just comes down to me playing WoW for so long that I just run into the center of it because I know I'm going to be okay. And I've just adapted that to my gameplay, and it's not a good idea.
And then what was your position on WoW? Was it a tank?
No, it was not. Usually I was a healer, but I do like mages, but people are just so slow and I want to make it go faster.
But even healers in that game, because I'm a healer when I play, I should not even be going out into the center or nowhere, you know, near that. You want to be kind of on the outside, but again, everybody plays different.
I just get
Harry
bored.
Potter is your kind of game.
Yeah, I get bored. I get bored very easily and I need to, like, you know, spice things up a little bit.
Boredom in video games, it does happen, maybe more so often, because there's such a huge variety, it seems like. And if we don't like playing a game with the Game Pass, we just uninstall that, wait, depending on our internet where we live, 3 days or 7 hours to download a game. And sometimes it's a lot faster than that, but there's such a great variety. You got bored with Fortnite and you were an avid Fortnite player for multiple seasons.
Yeah.
I rarely dabbled on my account in Fortnite, and then I just let it go. Then I picked it up on your account, and now you let your account go. But playing it now, do you ever want to jump back into it? Or have you just fully lost your appeal?
I think it's, you know, I need some time away from the game. It was the only game that was being played. It was the only game that lived in our house for a while. Like, there was no other, like, options. It's like, oh let's play Fortnite, I'm done. I need a break. I need to move on. And, you know, we have one kid that's going into esports playing Fortnite, so I mean, I do kind of have to get back on to help him, but I just don't want to play Fortnite right now. I want a good RPG, like really immersive, something that sucks you in, that has a great story, that
something allows you to kick chickens.
Yes. Yes. Kicking chickens is phenomenal.
Well, that's a great segue because we do have news about a new Fable game that has been in the works for a very long time. The last time that we actually seen something in the Fable franchise that was directly related to the Fable name. So Fable 3 came out back in 2010.
Yeah.
So it's been a very long time. 13 years, at least to this point. We don't have a date or anything yet. I want to say next year, maybe the year after that. But hey, now we at least have some kind of hope, right?
Yeah, and I mean, they've been talking about doing Fable for the past year.
Within them showing the gameplay and everything, it shows you playing as a hero, that you do have swords, magic, having a Jack and the Giant Beanstalk moment, and then also kicking chickens. So bringing that back, hopefully there will be an achievement tied with it, because there was the last time. I just thought you were being cruel, and I think that was your intentions, just to see a chicken, to kick the chicken, and like, oh, you get an achievement for it. I'm going to kick one, too.
Yeah, but who was kicking the chicken into the water and then the chicken disappearing? That was not me.
That was not you, but you can only kick the same chicken so many times and wonder, is it going to die? What's going to kill it? It's kind of like the butler when you're playing Lara Croft Tomb Raider on the PlayStation. You can shoot the butler, you can blow him up, you can never kill the butler. Unless you put him in the freezer.
Of course you know that.
And then he would have respawned. But let's go ahead and get back to Diablo 4 real quick. I did not realize that there's, you know, major celebrities, or I don't want to say older celebrities, but at least this celebrity, I would have no idea that she was an avid player and wanting to get so much. She's only playing on a Mac. I don't know if she didn't go to the website to find out what everything is available for, but we're talking about Whoopi Goldberg. So Whoopi Goldberg said this. This is what I'm asking you, Blizzard. This is Whoopi. You know how much I love Diablo. I would like y'all to let those of us who use our Apples to play. Allow us to play on the Apple. Take Diablo 4 and let us do it and have a great time. Give me my Diablo 4, because I paid for it. I was all excited for it. I went to play on it, and I'm telling you, this really pissed me off.
Well, you know, there's a good portion of people who don't understand that games aren't developed for the Apple.
I also understand that there's a group of people that will buy something and not knowing any kind of system requirements.
Yep.
System requirements being you have to have A, B, or C, and if you have D, you're just not going to be able to play.
Yep.
Either way, I'm sure it will go to the Mac. I cannot believe that it did not release on it, but I can see it coming out a little bit later on.
Yeah, it's something.
It was a PC game.
It was a PC game, and that's why, like, I don't know. I get all butthurt when PC games move to console, because they lose their luster on the controller after you've played it on PC.
So there's a game that came out on the PC. I shouldn't even say the PC. It was way back in the day, but the game Marathon that Bungie did. So that's finally coming to the consoles, the next gens, whatever you want to call it, which is very interesting. It's been a very long time since maybe we can have something excited from Bungie. Obviously, they did have Halo. Moved then over to Destiny. I don't know. I think Bungie is just one of those companies that I don't want to say fell off the map. But it's just really a bummer because they were always Halo for me.
Yeah.
343 got a hold of it. Not saying that they're running it into the ground, but they are showing signs of weakness. They were struggling to come out with Season 3. Although Season 3 is out and they're talking about Season 4, maybe this is just another, God, I want to say nail in the coffin. But they're cutting the cutscenes, which I don't think that you need for a seasonal trailer of, hey, new armor, boom, bam, cool. You know how the game plays. Are you going to waste that much time and effort on it? Even for someone like Call of Duty to do it, I don't think we need a game trailer for a season. Fortnite even does it, too. I mean, I'm sure everybody does it, right?
But see, Fortnite has a story that goes with their trailer. Because if you ever really watch it, there's a story that follows along. So there is a story being portrayed.
This is Halo.
I understand that.
Halo has a story.
But Halo's stories have gone downhill and have not been satisfying. And I think that the Game Pass and, like, you know, trying to bring people back by, look at this, you know, check this out. They're trying to reel people in to get the pass. Because they're, you know, not many people sit there and talk about the campaign anymore. The campaign has not been a priority for them and is no longer become a priority for most people.
Call of Duty would have titles, multiplayer only.
Yep.
No campaign. It's great until the servers get a shut off.
Yep.
And then if you're one of those people that spent hundreds, maybe thousands on microtransactions, damn, could have bought a physical copy of that game multiple times over.
Oh, yeah, that's where they get you. That's where they make their money.
Speaking of making money, Xbox Series X and Game Pass, they're going to be jacked up beginning July 6th, just a couple days after the American holiday. It's not going up very much, so the Game Pass Ultimate is going to be costing $16.99, and the regular Game Pass is going to be now costing $10.99. It's been the same price ever since it came out in 2017. Possibly it is time for this to happen. Also, that was back in 2017. Friday the 13th, the game is going to be playable until at least the end of this year, 2023. But the game will no longer be available to buy after this year due to the expiration of the Friday the 13th license that is set to expire December 31st of this year.
Well, not only is the Game Pass prices going up, but, you know, Xbox is increasing their game prices from $60 to $70, starting with May's Redfall.
They're jumping on that bandwagon.
Yeah, so, you know, not only is that going up, but everything's going up all the way around. And as we've seen through the years, games have gone from like $20, $30, $40, $50, $60. They increase by $10 every time.
I still remember my parents bitching about buying a Super Nintendo game, and they were not cheap. The graphics were much shitty, but it was also new technology at the time. It was a really cool thing. It was something that you really never seen before. Maybe you knew somebody that had one, but we didn't have this online internet, YouTube. Maybe you can see a commercial or an ad for it to show how it was. Maybe you were lucky to have that local Walmart or store that you can go into and try something out. Hell, I remember when N64 was out and GoldenEye finally hit the shelves, going to the local Walmart to having to stand in line for like a half an hour. Parents just leaving my ass. Okay, we'll come back and we'll get you. And I'm just, maybe one or two times I'll be able to play it. You might get 5 or 10 minutes. If you were a bigger kid, if you were older, you got a chance to play longer because people were not going to pick on you. If you were small and scrawny, you were going to get bullied, so you had less time. That's how things were. And I don't know if there's much pull for a game that's going to get me to go out and buy that physical release or just want to have it so bad. Yes, we do have the digital copy of Diablo 4. I would still like to get a physical copy of it. I like having physical copies of games. It's just sad on where we are with the gaming industry because we really don't know how long a server is going to be on for.
Exactly, and we've had this conversation many, many moons ago about when they started going digital with their games, how you felt about it. And we talked about, you know, even though you have the physical copy, you are only paying for the rights to play the game, and at any time they can terminate those rights, and you no longer can play the game. So you're spending all this money, and just like Friday the 13th, they're not going to be able to play it anymore.
Yeah, and then if you just have the digital copy, it doesn't matter if you got DLC, extra characters, it does not matter. It's still a game, though, that you can play against the computer or you can play locally. Kind of defeats the purpose if you're going to play it on the same TV. But, hey, get used to split screen because that's how it was back in the day before internet.
Yeah. I remember those fights.
Hey, no cheating.
You're looking at my screen.
We're on the same TV. Something that is frustrating, almost along the same lines of what we're just talking about, The new Alan Wake sequel is not going to be getting a physical version. There is a reason for this, and the reason why is because they want to still keep it underneath from what you were just saying, Megan, about the $70 price target that basically all these games are getting into. Is, you know, it's very hard and it's very difficult to watch these prices jack up more and more and more. And it seems like we're not getting less and less and less, but we don't even have a physical copy of the game. If you want to buy anything from this game, you can get some merchandise, and it's going to be a collective thermos. That is something that can be collected within the game itself. Is one of 100 Dear Diner thermoses. 6-episode story. I did like the first Alan Wake game. It was a 360 exclusive. Dumped a lot of time into it. For its day, I want to say it was also fairly scary, too.
It creeped the hell out of me. And you know me, I'm not a very... I don't do horror games very well on my own. You have to sit next to me, and I usually end up throwing the controller at you and telling you to do it. It was a creepy game, and it was my first experience, other than a Resident Evil game, that I got creeped out. They did a great job.
Side question. Creepiest games.
Oh. I would have to say the Silent Hill games, I think, traumatized me the most. And then we'd move up to Resident Evil, because that just gets scary on its own.
Keep in mind, first Resident Evil and first Silent Hill, early renditions of the game were very choppy with graphics.
Yes.
But they still had that scary feel, because we didn't experience something like that on this thing called the PlayStation, right?
Yeah, and I'm going off of the fact of, like, you know, Silent Hill was my first horror game I ever played. And it scared the crap out of me. And then I get further on and I get a little, you know, brave. And I tried a Resident Evil game. That one creeped me out to where I only played it during the day. And I remember we were in Texas once. And you guys tried to get me to play a horror game. And it was, we were creeping around at Salem Asylum or something like that. And I literally, like, ripped the headset off and passed it on. But I think the virtual reality one was the scariest one I've ever done. And then I would go from to Silent Hill, then to Resident Evil. But Alan Wake wasn't, to me, wasn't horror. It was a thriller. I don't know how you feel about it.
You took my top one, which was Silent Hill. Very first one. I remember when I got it, my parents were apprehensive on giving it to me. Didn't really know too much on it. I had a PS1 original game. It was a black label. The reason why I know something about that, and I'm still salty to this day, because even if it's open, it still could be worth a couple $100. But anyway, I don't have any more because it got given away, because the game gave me nightmares, just like the first time I played Doom. And my mother told my father, never again.
Yeah. I mean, if you really think about it, like, Doom did traumatize some people, and if you played the original game, especially if you played it on PC, it is 8-bit, basically.
Yes, and Wolfenstein 3D was a little bit before Doom. However, I remember playing Doom, and it seemed a lot darker. Wolfenstein 3D was a lot more colorful, just because of, you know, the walls being red or blue. Just, it looked totally different. And something about those two games that are basically the same thing, but Doom creeped the hell out of me, because that was the first time that I ever played or even heard of something being mentioned as a first-person shooter. You know, what the fuck is an FPS? You had no idea what the hell it was. You couldn't look up, you couldn't look down. There was an enemy that was 50 yards out, but they were way above you. You just had to point in their direction and shoot, and then your bullets would travel up. So gaming was very easy. You know, versus first-person shooters now, where every button has an ability, and you can do, you know, two buttons for one, the damn joysticks or something too. And
well, not only that, but where you hit a character on their body also counts as how much damage you're going to do to them too as well.
Correct. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not only like every button has a thing, but now you literally have to aim, like focus, aim, and go, all right, if they're this far away, like, where do I need to aim at to hit here? Because I need to dispose of them quickly. And, you know, it's gotten a lot harder, but it's become more strategic and more fun than what it used to be.
But now you play with other people that you know are other people, and you know that other people could cheat, and you can possibly blame the computer, knowing that it may be true, and you don't know if the other person is doing it, but now you know that you got beat by another human being. You didn't get beat by the computer. Well, and you're going to get beat by that same human being 20, 30 times in a fucking game. And then you're going to wait for that quick moment in an open lobby where you're just going to curse that person out. So it's much different.
It is much different, and it's much more worse when you know who beat you is a small child and you're an adult who's been gaming your entire life. That's what sucks the most.
Yeah, and it's 3 in the morning on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
And that person is still up at the age of 11 or 12, should not be playing it, should not be spitting the profanity that they are at another human being. But either way, there's kids out there nowadays. I do play Fortnite probably quite a bit. The most game that I play right now, besides Diablo 4, and within a week, we won't even say 2 weeks into a brand new season, we're talking a person being level 200 or 300.
Yeah.
For me to get to level 100, it almost takes the entire duration of the season, which typically is a couple weeks. What you said, I do agree with you. You can find yourself playing one game and one game only, but there's such a big variety out there to play. You don't want to spend, or at least I don't want to spend, another 80 hours grinding just to get a cosmetic skin. And I mean, you're going to win the game once. It feels like you're going to beat the game every single time because there's really not much different. It's still a fun game to play. But with all the other games that are coming out that are accessible right now that you get on a turn-by-turn basis on the Game Pass, it's hard to pick one game and just grind on it.
Yeah, it is. It truly is. Like, you'll get playing a game, and with me, I'll get so submerged in a game that when I stop and I go, okay, you know, I need to go live my life for a minute here, be an adult, go to work,
I'm gonna go
do that shit.
I have to go to the bathroom. I think I went like 4 hours ago.
And, you know, you go do the adulting stuff that you need to do, and then you come back and you're like, man, I really don't want to play this anymore. And you start flipping through, like, what games are out? Like, what do you want to try now? Like, just changing it up. It's like, you know, binge watching a show, and then you're like, hey, I'm going to switch it up because I'm bored with this one. Let's move on to this one. And I feel that after I've dumped so many hours in a game, I'm just like, all right, next, move on. And I do like to beat the games, but I mean, if it takes me a long time to beat it, I'm playing like multiple games at a time because I need a break and play another one.
You also pick games that has a story, but it also takes 600 fucking hours in order to complete. You're talking like Elder Scrolls type of fucking games.
Yeah. Yeah, and the reason I do that is because, you know, I'll have just a handful of games that I play, and I'm not worried about, like, oh, when's this game coming out? Oh, when's this game coming out? Because the anticipation of waiting for a game to come out is just crazy.
I thought about this the other day. You're a good person to ask. Do you think FOMO, or the fear of missing out, has hit video gamers nowadays with all these seasonal passes and all that, though it is just cosmetic skins and shit that you can get for yourself or for your weaponry and accessories for your character? Do you really have to collect them all?
Oh, 100%. 100%. So I got salty when I didn't get Geralt from Witcher because I didn't have the time or to put into the game to get the quest to get him.
You're talking about on Fortnite.
Yeah. And that's kind of what killed Fortnite for me, because, like, I didn't get him and I didn't get Indiana Jones because I didn't have the time for that small window to get those characters. So, I mean, yeah, you fear to miss out, so you spend all the time like, okay, I need this, 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 and this, so I need to do this, this, and this, and spend all this time on this. And then you don't pay attention to, like, actual good games that are coming out.
Then you didn't get Ending, you're just saying, fuck this franchise.
Basically, okay. I love me some Indie. Don't judge me.
It's crazy that I would spend... Yeah, I'm curious on how many hours I would spend playing Fortnite through the season to see how it is to me get to level 100. And there was a point, and I'm really thankful that I don't have to do it on 4 accounts like I was doing, because I was constantly grinding Fortnite. And I'm sorry, I was being selfish grinding on my Fortnite account first to get to level 100, and then I had 3 others. You were the second priority, but now people were starting to take, oh, well, I want this person, or I want this skin. And that's fine. I don't like creative too much, and I really don't want to spend 20 hours in creative to gain XP just to... I'm not looking at you, because...
Yeah, I know. I know who you're talking about.
Yes. It's a fun game. It's a game that can get burnt out very, very quickly, and I can really see myself getting burnt out on a game if I am wanting to collect them all. I have gotten to that point where, for Fortnite, for example, I'll save my V-Bucks for like 2 or 3 years. Normally buy stuff around Christmas time.
Yep.
I'll get to level 100 if there's something. That's cool. Great. But we'll say this season, for example, to level 100, you're playing and grinding for 10, 20, 30 hours. I don't know. More than 10 hours, obviously.
Yeah.
Depending on how you play, I don't know what an average, if it's going to be 40 hours. Whatever the hours you want to say, it's Optimus Prime from Transformers. Or it is a Transformer. I don't know if it's Optimus Prime. I have a feeling it's not. It looks like Barrage Brigade or something. Somebody do with the Transformer franchise. It doesn't fit me very well. I grew up playing with them, but it doesn't have a pull of, that's it?
Yeah.
And leading up to that, not dogging any of the characters all the way up into level 100, but now when you're at level 100, nothing else in there fits anything with Transformers. Just, you know, a couple things. Where before, if you had something with Star Wars, or if you had Spider-Man, or Avengers, you know, seemed like they were doing a theme and it was something big. Is Fortnite getting lost now to where they don't know what the hell they're doing?
I think they may be running out of collaborations, but they are, you know, trying. They're trying to get the collaborations. You know, they're getting artists. They're getting, like, big box stores to, like, join in with them, or big name brands, I should say, to join in with them to do things. And so they're trying to make their money, but they don't have enough ideas to keep that going like they have been. It's just I feel like the last couple seasons that I played, it was like a big mashup. It's like all these different characters and, you know, maybe like one really big character. And it's like, I don't want any of these. So, I mean, I just feel like it's gotten a little redundant and I needed to step away. And I think that they need to take the time to really develop a good theme. And like, they always do a really great job around the holidays, and you know, they have, especially like around the Christmas time when you open all the presents and stuff, they usually do a theme and they stick with that theme pretty well.
I can't dog the game too much because I still find myself playing it.
Yeah.
You're going to do stuff in the town later. I'm going to get some yard work done and I'm probably going to jump on it.
You know, and I don't blame you. It's fine. It, you know, it just, I just need a good story. Like, I need something that's going to suck me in. I need to like invest my time into something and grow a character. So...
And I believe that's where the relationship with Halo and I, you know, we finally got together, you know, way back when. This was Halo 2. Halo 3 was just coming out. But when I first played Halo, it was on Blood Gulch, Halo CE, and I'm just getting massacred. And I thought, well, I'm playing as an alien. This is stupid. Who are you? You dress in armor? You're stupid. You know, it was just, that was my mentality. That was my attitude. But learning what was coming from Halo 2 to Halo 3 and how the story was progressing, already being 3 games in. I didn't know anything about the first one and the second one. Picked up Halo 3, fell in love with it, bought most of the fucking books until about 15, 20 years ago. I can only imagine how many more Halo books there are now. But there is such a large story with Halo, and I love that. Multiplayer then, it was just a bonus. We were starting to get a lot of Wi-Fi stuff. Being on the 360, you didn't have to have a straight Ethernet port. You probably had 1 or 2 people in your lobby that would have a light switch modified through their Ethernet cable so they can, you know, lag jump or whatever it was that you want to call it. But that was a way that you can do it back then to glitch out to gain the competitive edge against somebody else. How do I know? Because I did it to my friends. I did take it online. It was never in a public lobby, but it was very obvious.
Yeah.
Because you can hear them over the headset. And they're very cheap headsets back then, too.
Yes, they were.
You know, sound like you're talking through a tin can. Now, we got some really nice headsets. Got some Astros that you got me. You got your Star Wars collectible, which don't break that one because that replacement was very hard to find.
I still don't know how those other ones broke, but I remember grabbing them down to put them on my head, and just the one, like, earpiece just fell off, and I just, like, was hysterical.
Literally hanging on by a thread. It was hanging on by the one wire.
Yeah, the one wire was left with it.
Yes, but out of the limited edition collection number, whatever it is, we have two of them.
Yes, we do have two, and only one works.
I do want to glue up that other one and just set it somewhere, because they are nice.
Yeah, they are extremely nice, and you can change out the plates on the side, so it, you know. A variety. We can have two sets.
Yeah. Do you have the Rebel ones on?
Yeah, I had the Rebel ones on.
Yeah, and then the Stormtrooper is the other ones that you can put on, correct? Four games that have a lot of replay value. One of those games for you, I believe any Assassin's Creed title. Well, I know Ezio was your boy, but...
No. Altair.
Altair. You can say it with a sexy voice, too. So he definitely was yours.
He was my first. I would have to say the only Assassin's Creed game you will never see me play is Unity, because I absolutely hate that game.
Why?
Because that's when they started changing the game mechanics, but they changed them all. So it was like a sudden like shift from this is how you were playing to all of a sudden, oh my god, like there's new ways they're doing it, like a talent tree, and you have to complete these quests in order to move up. And I don't like chasing people down. Like, I'll skip those ones. They irritate me. But you had to, like, complete these side quests and move on to the main story, and it had nothing to do with the main story. It just, that game sucks so bad.
Now, wasn't it also the start of Unity when they started to release something in the Assassin's Creed franchise every single year?
Yeah, so Unity was one of the last ones to come out that was, like, year after year after year, because they weren't taking the time to, like, really develop, test things out, see what, you know, us as gamers wanted to see in the game.
For the new Assassin's Creed game, Mirage, that's going to be coming out, the map is being downsized. Some people are saying, obviously, that they don't want to see it being downsized, but a Ubisoft employee has explained that this Assassin's Creed will not be just revisiting its stealth origins, but it will also be returning to the series of roots in terms of the map size. So having a smaller area, maybe more stuff to do, get less lost.
Well, it's a lot less travel time. And, you know, playing the first Assassin's Creed, there was a lot to the game. Even though the map was small, they packed a lot into that game.
The game is going to be coming out October 12th for the PS4, PS5, Xbox One, and Series S, X, PC. Grand Theft Auto Online. We've had some experiences.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Another game that we collectively try to kill each other in.
Oh, constantly. That's nothing.
I do know of people that have spent a lot of money on shark cards. And I'm talking a lot of money just being a couple hundred dollars. I'm sure there's people out there that have spent thousands of dollars on microtransactions just to get something in the game that they find cool. Well, if that one or two or many things is cool, being a car or a bike, GTA Online... They updated and removed more than 180 cars and bikes from their servers. Even worse, if they want to go ahead and hook you back in so you can get those back, $6 a month for GTA Plus. There have been more rumors coming with GTA 6, but I don't want to be spreading the rumors. We're going to hear something hopefully relatively soon.
I mean, I can see them doing that. This is a way for them to make money. GTA 5 has been around for so long, and people have modded the game. They're playing the game as if they're, like, real characters as doctors, mechanics, and gangs, you know. They're literally role-playing these games, becoming these characters, and the creators of GTA don't get the profits from behind that. And in order for them to keep up, continually to keep this game going, they're gonna have to profit somewhere. And I know microtransactions is one of them, but it's not a guarantee. It's not a guarantee that you're gonna make this month, and you may need it so you can go ahead and add this into the game, or, you know, fix this issue that you've been having.
So yes, Grand Theft Auto 5 has been out for a long time. How many billions of dollars have they made just from that one title?
I mean,
billions. Fucking billions. You don't need to charge your consumer another $6 a month. But still, hey, if that's your game, I'm not really bitching. I can't say too much, but I can see myself having more than one subscription because, okay, I got the crew pass.
Exactly. That's
and then I could be buying Season 4 when that comes out for Halo Infinite. And then I have 3 or 4 more games that I can buy the Season's Pass for. Are we at the point now where we can get like a subscription model or something that, okay, you can buy a Block A or you can custom make 6 games that you can have the Season's Pass for, but now it's going to cost you another $30-$40 a month or whatever it is just to play these damn games. But again, that's if you want everything to go ahead and come through that, you know, I don't want to miss out on any items.
Yeah, it comes back to the, you know, FOMO.
Atari 2600 possibly is making a comeback, or at least just for the cartridges. Mr. Run and Jump will be coming out on consoles and PC later this year, but also it's going to be coming out to buy a 30-year Atari 2600 cartridge. So it's going to be coming out on PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, PC, and Steam through the Epic Games Store. When was the last time that you played an Atari 2600?
The last time that mine worked, because I think you've seen it in the milk crate, just there dying. But yeah, it's been years.
I think it's dead.
I 100%, I don't think we can fix it.
It's something that you can put on the coffee table and, you know, tell the younger generation of, you know, that's what it looked like.
It just brings me back to my mom showing me her A-tracks. This is what I listen to music on.
Then the question is, where do you plug it into? I mean, it was, I think for me, discovering music was on A-tracks in a car.
Mm-hmm.
And then another big breakthrough, obviously CDs were already out, CD players were already out by this point, but getting introduced to cassette tapes.
Yeah.
And then having a Walkman that was really heavy, and they were clunky and ugly as shit, and they were just really bad, poorly made, so it was like the leather was melting to your ears or the side of your face. But then the invention of CD players, or at least me finally getting one, that was cool.
Yeah. Now, did you ever have, here's a question for you, did you ever have the Home Alone cassette player that you could do slow-mo and backwards?
No, I did not, but I do remember everybody having it, and when it came out for Christmas, and Santa Claus, that fat bastard, never brought it for me. So him and I haven't got along in a very long time.
Well, it wasn't all it was cracked up to be, we can tell you that right now, because, you know, it basically looked like, you know, you were doing one of the radical dude signs when you're holding the damn thing, and it was all hard. So if you dropped it or damaged it, it wasn't going to work anymore. I broke mine.
But it was cool, and it was from the movie.
It was, and I broke it. Didn't take long. So I was just, you know, reminiscing, basically. You know, we're talking about Nintendo, old games. Have you ever played, like, Duck Hunt?
I have. I think it was, like, one of those staples of a game that you would always play on the original NES.
Yep. And do you remember the controller for Duck Hunt?
I do.
Do you remember what color the controller is?
Gray, black, orange.
Correct. So a man robs a gas station with Nintendo Duck Hunt pistol. He painted it black. And police have arrested a South Carolina man. The 25-year-old suspect allegedly made away with $300 in cash after donning a mask, wig, hoodie, and the Nintendo gun for Duck Hunt. And, you know, it's called the Zapper, and it was mostly used for Duck Hunt, but it also worked for a few other games.
You know what? I saw a picture of it. He did not paint everything black. He left the trigger orange.
Oh, I didn't even, like, zoom into that.
And the best thing about the trigger being orange, so obviously he was in police custody, right?
Yeah.
And when he was in police custody, they have to take whatever weapon that he was being charged with and lock it in. Well, they still ended up putting a zip tie around the trigger point, but, I mean, it's not going to do anything.
Exactly. Yeah, it definitely had me cracking up a little bit that somebody thought that, you know, the Duck Hunt controller would work for a nice little robbery.
Well, it did work for $300. But I can't imagine too many people getting robbed or being held at gunpoint with a controller like that. Still, it's a scary situation to find yourself in, fake gun or not. But what's going through people's minds of, hey, you know, I got this controller here. I mean, it's too bad, really. It is too bad because now that controller is being confiscated and it's never going to see the light of day. It's never going to be played with again. Maybe just melted down or could be sold in an auction. I don't know. Just don't do shit like that.
I mean, you know, mentioning the second installment to Final Fantasy VII is a big one. And then Star Wars has a new game coming out.
Okay, so you want to jump into the Summer Game Fest?
Yeah.
So we don't really have an E3. It's one of those things that was canceled online and also in person, which is a major bummer for year 2023 for gamers when it comes to award shows. But we do have the Summer Game Fest, which is an entire month-long event that runs in June, and it's going to showcase Xbox, Starfield Direct, Ubisoft, Forward, Capcom, Nintendo Direct, and a few more things. And at the time of recording this, we're currently still in June. So by the time this comes out, there's going to be some more articles that we have not yet seen. But yes, we do have Final Fantasy news.
Yeah, the second installment to the Final Fantasy remake is coming out, you know, for those of us who bought it in 2019 and only got a small portion of the game. I was a little pissed off about that. But that will be coming out soon.
Story time on that. We were at the apartment, right?
No, it was our first year here.
It was the first year?
Yeah.
Okay. I remember you getting the game, and then I remember shortly after you getting the game, me reading an article about how it's not an actual full game, but you finding out, you were livid.
Yeah,
when it happened.
I had one more chapter to go, and I'm like, wait a minute. I'm not even where I should be if there's only one more chapter left.
You did not throw down your controller, but you can tell that you're in a mood.
Yeah, I didn't even finish that final chapter because I was so irritated because they did such a beautiful job redoing this game. They got great actors for the voices. They really spent their time developing the characters. And I was getting over the fact that, you know, they broke the game up in chapters because I don't like when a lot of games do that, especially when it comes to Final Fantasy, which is an RPG and it's supposed to fluidly move. And when I figured it out and I was like, wait a minute, like, I didn't finish it. I have one chapter to go and I never finish it. But now, if you've been waiting for the few years after the fact of when the game came out, you get the second half. But it's not the whole game still.
I was going to ask, is it the full game yet?
No, it's not. So I would wait until they release the final editions.
So you can buy it all in one and you don't have to, you know, worry about buying three separate games throughout the course of time, or you can just buy it all at the same time, or, you know, maybe it'll be a great physical edition or, you know, a physical game. But even a game that big, are you even able to fit it on one disc?
No, there's no way, because when it was on PlayStation, it was on, what, three discs, if not more. I can't even remember. It's been so long. But the game is massive. And I don't want to spend $70 to $80 every time they release a portion of the game.
We did hear about Spider-Man 2. That's going to be coming out this year, October 20th. Batman Arkham Trilogy is going to be coming to the Nintendo Switch. And that means you're going to get Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, and Arkham Knight. And all the DLC for three games is going to be coming out later on this fall. Did you ever play any of those games?
No, I don't think I have, actually.
They were big when they came out. I never got into them.
Yeah, I don't think I played any of them.
Perfect time to get it. But hey, we got Metal Gear Solid news. I was a Metal Gear Solid fan, not as much as Mike that we have here in the podcast.
Yes.
He's probably going to listen to this, so I'll talk about something off the air with you. Are you looking forward to seeing these kind of games being revamped? So yes, we do have Final Fantasy, so that is one of your kind of games. But are we losing ideas to get anything fresh?
I think when they revamp a game, it needs to be a game that deserves the opportunity and chance to have the graphics have more added to it, have it like enriched a little bit better. I don't know about, you know, the later editions of Metal Gear Solid, but maybe the first couple I could see, you know, them revamping and coming out for the hardcore fans. But I guess, like, if I said no, I would feel bad because I am a Final Fantasy VII, like, mega fan when it comes to it. I play the game so much. I, you know, have it on my PC. And if I said no, I just feel like an ass.
Mortal Kombat 1. So that's a game that's going to be coming out. The very first Mortal Kombat game. So actually, do you know why they're calling it 1?
No.
So the reason why they're calling it Mortal Kombat 1 is because it is going to be starting off something new. So it's not going to, like, oh, you know, it's a brand new Mortal Kombat game. It's kind of hard to have one person fighting another person. It's always going to be Mortal Kombat, right? But there's going to be a reason why it's going to 1, because they're going to have a 2 and a 3. Obviously, the number's going to keep on going. So we're starting off some kind of a story. What was your experience playing the very first one?
I mean, it was fine. I played it with my cousins because they had the Mortal Kombat game, but I was more a Soul Calibur girl.
That I was not as much into as Mortal Kombat. I don't remember Mortal Kombat giving me nightmares, but I also don't remember a video game at that time you being able to rip out the opponent's spine.
I mean, it's very true.
But you know, it's funny because up until that point, we did not have anything as graphic.
No, we didn't.
And that's why they had to start put ratings on games of, maybe somebody at the age of 6 or 7 shouldn't be playing this game where you can just mutilate your person's body after you're, you know, done killing them.
I remember waking up in the middle of the night and you're playing the new Wolfenstein game, and I was like, what's going on? You're like, that's her mom. I was like, what?
Yeah, you're talking about a fucked up story. Kind of woke up at the wrong part.
I did.
Star Trek Infinite, they get announced. Were you ever Star Trek Online? It was
boring.
Was it?
Yeah, because I had to fly stuff, and I'm not really good at that.
Okay. Yeah, same with driving, right?
Yeah, same with driving. No, I'm not good at that either.
Sandland is going to be coming to PlayStation 5, PS4, Xbox Series X and S, and the PC. There is no release date as of now. Pal World is going to be coming to Early Access next year in January. Lord of the Rings.
No, I have played those games.
Fall of this year. What's your take on the Lord of the Rings series?
I liked, when I played it, it was back in the day, you know, WoW was like a thing. There was like, you know, all these other games that were like MMORPGs. And I remember getting into the Lord of the Rings one, and it was just amazing. I mean, the graphics really sucked, but it was amazing. So I'm excited for it. I love Lord of the Rings. I love the story. I love me some hobbits and some dwarves.
Final Fantasy. So the new one that's going to be coming out. They do have a beta that's going to be starting July 6th. It was announced way back in 2021, just after the pandemic. Nice to see that we're starting to get some progression on it. Are you going to be playing the beta?
So I quit playing the new Final Fantasy games when they came out, when they kind of like got rid of by the turn-by-turn style fighting. That was so iconic for the Final Fantasy franchise that when they moved it to like actual fighting,
like a Dynasty Warrior kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm not about that. That's not my favorite thing. When they did the Final Fantasy VII remake and revamped it, you had the option to continue turn by turn style fighting or the new way that Final Fantasy does it. And I'm true to the day that I first started playing Final Fantasy, I am turn by turn style. It is my favorite way to play those games.
Did you ever play a Twisted Metal title?
No, I actually have not.
There's going to be something coming out on Peacock next month on the 27th of July. So I want to see what that's going to bring. I remember playing it way back in the first one. Twisted Metal 3 would have to be my most favorite. I want to say that was on the first PlayStation. It's been a long while.
It's been out for a long time. I've seen it played, but I've never played it.
Something that you have watched has been announced.
Yes.
The Witcher.
The Witcher. And I think that I almost killed that series for you because that was one of the ones I was watching a lot.
No, it's all right. I want to say it was The Witcher. Yes, it was The Witcher. You killed it right at the very first episode because you saw it before. And then you know, I asked who that was.
Yeah, it was a big oopsie. I didn't mean to.
It's all right. I mean, I played the games. I think the show works great with the games. Everything seems to do very well. Superman looks phenomenal. He seems to play the character very well. But I also heard that that's going to be his last time playing.
Yep. I believe it comes all down to he is very true to the games. He loves these games. He's played these games. And, I mean, it's not like I killed, like, the big reveal. If you have any knowledge of The Witcher, like, you kind of had a general idea of what was going on.
Yeah, you're going to know what's
going to
happen.
So, you know, me not thinking that one through, I do apologize for that. But I have watched probably the first two seasons 5 or 6 times by now.
It's like The Last of Us. Same kind of thing. Or it could be like Halo. I've heard stuff about The Last of Us. I've heard stuff about Halo. You kind of expect things that happen in the game are going to follow onto the TV screen, and that's a great way to play it out, just more of a in a cinematic kind of feel instead of you playing the game and living it. But for people who's not a gamer like us, who haven't played the games, they're explaining this to you for the first time, and you're like, oh, that sounds really familiar. It's like I played that before or something, right?
Yeah.
But it is great that they are doing a good job with The Witcher. It's nice to see that they are coming out for a season 3. You know, there's been a lot of stuff that has been released during the Summerfest, so I'm not going to talk about everything that has come out. We've gotten a lot of games that are going to be coming out on certain dates within this year, next year, or 2025. A ton of trailers. You have the list in front of you. Is there anything that you want to go ahead and pop into?
I mean, in all reality, I think that I know that there's a new Hellblade coming out, and I haven't played the first one yet, but it looks amazing. You know,
I hope that the new Forza Motorsport game is going to be better than it was for the last one for me. But I believe after playing the Horizon series of Forza, I'm going to be more of a Horizon fan than I am Motorsport.
I mean, I'm not going to lie, Horizon really did it for me the last time we played. It was a lot of fun.
I want to get back into playing that again, too.
I wouldn't mind. I honestly wouldn't mind. I had a lot of fun racing. I loved the times that I got to beat you. You know, it wasn't very often, but at least, like, when I got to beat you, I was able to, like, rub it in your face for a second before you kicked my ass in the next race.
Maybe somebody let you win.
I needed it, because I'm not really good at driving games, but that game, actually, I can play, and I do a decent job. So, I mean, I do look forward to, like, playing that franchise some more.
Real quick, that was one of my pandemic games, and there was a lot of pandemic games. And I still remember playing with somebody who I used to work with. And he played this game and grind on this game for a long time since it came out. And there was just something about the feel that I had with that game that brought me back to the early 2000s. There was a game for the PC called Motor City Online. And there's another guy that I work with, or had worked with, he no longer works there. It's crazy. I found out he was a gamer, he was a PC gamer, and I mentioned, you know, back in the day, you know, the screwed the Sims and all that. The Sims Online kicked out this game, Motor City Online, that EA had out. He said, holy crap, you played that. And it was just like a very small world, so it was also very cool and nostalgic to have somebody had those kind of feelings with you.
Yeah.
So that came, the game Forza Horizon 4 came very close to that game, closest that any game has come to that game in a very long time. So, back to the story. I spent a lot of time drag racing on that game, and I spent a crap ton of time tuning the car, and just, I had an old coupe that looks just like mine,
yes,
had the flames, fast as hell, only goes one way. And my buddy comes online, he brings out his, you know, his fastest car or whatever, or something that he thinks is going to have somewhat of a close race against mine. And we're taking off the airport, or the airstrip, where he did the drag racing. And I'm throttling back. I'm keeping a little bit of distance on him. And two or three races later, he finally got fed up and he was done with it. He quit. He put down his controller. He told me at work when I saw him again, you know, it's fucking bullshit. I don't know how much you play, but I dumped real money into that game and blah, blah, blah. So, yes. Sorry about the side tangent. That was a game that I played for a very long time. So, I'm looking forward, and I hope that we do get something out of Motorsport. A big game that I am wanting to see, Payday 3. Have you ever played any of the Payday games.
No, that was not my cup of tea.
I got into a lot of Payday 2, and I'm really surprised that people want to see Payday 3 so bad, and especially so bad possibly into a movie, unless you build some kind of good character development. And I don't think that Payday 2 had a lot of it.
Mm-mm.
So I'm curious on also if Payday 3 is going to have something that could spawn into a movie. I still like the game. I never played the first one, but the second one, I fell in love with it. Again, ton of hours into it. I just don't know how it's going to go if they do want to put it up on the big screen. Either way, that's coming to the Game Pass, Xbox Series, X and S, September 21st. Sea of Thieves. I would love to start playing that game with you, but at the same time, I'm also like, fuck that game. There was a small stint where I would play with a couple other people, and it would typically go all in the same fashion or form. We would collect for hours, or we would just be doing good, having fun, no issues, maybe see an enemy ship, and then we just go into another way, we'd never see him again. But you have to return to an island at some point to turn everything in.
That is correct.
And that is where everybody hangs out.
Yeah, they just wait. They wait for you to get there, and then they take all your shit, and it's like, crap, you know, we spent hours. And I mean, we were navigating monsters, and we worked so well as a team, like our little crew that we had going. But that day that they just destroyed and took everything from us, and I couldn't do it again. I was so mad.
Don't get me wrong. We have won battles when we can see them coming.
Correct.
But, I mean, you're into the game. It's very cool. You all right?
Dwight farted, and it smells really bad on this side of the house. You smell it now?
He's got a taste of it. Yeah. As long as there's nothing on the floor.
No, he was laying right next to me, and I didn't even hear this one. And I just like, whew.
All right. Well, that took my train of thought there. So, yeah, Sea of Thieves, great game. Love it. I think I'm more mad at myself just for enjoying the game, being up there. What do they call that? The crow's nest at the very top?
Yes.
Yes. I love being up there, hanging out, looking around, but I don't do a good enough job of knowing when a ship or something is near, but people don't even use ships. I've seen people swim from an island that you might get close to, and all of a sudden they're on your ship. They planted dynamite or whatever it is, and you're starting to sink. You got no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
And then two or three people show up, or another ship shows up. And
yeah, it's incredible what people do.
It is. Like that fart from the dog.
Oh, my God. It was so bad. It's
incredible. PlayStation, they did announce a dedicated streaming service. They're going to be, well, it's a codename called Project Q for right now. You're going to be allowed access for remote play over the Wi-Fi. It's going to have an 8-inch HD screen. All the buttons and everything's going to be like a DualSense controller. It's also PS5 has announced that they do have their own earbuds. So it kind of does sound like a Game Gear. Game Boy.
Kind of like when they came out with their PSP. It's just going to be like a new version of their PSP.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We kind of already seen this before.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll be better than what the PSP was. But I don't think the PSP had really too many issues. I knew of a lot of people that would play on their PSP.
I had a PSP because I played Star Wars Battlefront on my PSP. And it was a lot of fun. But the only downfall is they didn't dedicate the time and resources to make the PSP better, to come out with even more games for the PSP. It just kind of like, you know, it's not Game Boy. Like, Game Boy has it in the pocket. We both had Dreamcasts. Or, wait, what is it?
I did not have a Dreamcast.
The Sega one.
The Sega Game Gear.
Yeah, the Sega Game Gear. We both had one of those.
Yes, I still have mine.
Yes, and I sold mine. But
I've showed it to your boys and they're like, what the hell is this?
Correct.
Why does it weigh so much?
I remember because it came out the same year as the Game Boy. And I was asked, you know, this is what you want for Christmas because they, you know, Nintendo has this one. And I think this one's going to do better. But I was so determined to get the Game Gear because of the games, because they had the Garfield game and they had like so many fun games on it.
Well, thank you for sitting on in for the podcast 311. Hate to go ahead and rush out. Laptop's about ready to die. And we have a dog that needs to go outside.
Yeah, and I need to get my eyebrows done. But I appreciate it. It was fun.
And I want to turn on the air conditioner because
your balls are sweaty.
We did a 5K.
We did do a 5K today, so we're hot.
Well, as you said, I'm always hot.
I'm always hot.
don't say it like that.
My man voice.
So I don't know if that's you that's smelling or me. I think it's me.
It could be a little bit of both.
Yeah, yeah. All right, everybody, thank you for listening. And until next time, take care.